So today, the key doctrine idea is this: righteousness is not achieved by obedience, it is received by faith as a gift in Christ. Righteousness is not achieved by obedience, it is received by faith as a gift in Christ. Religion is what? Man trying to reach God. But grace is God reaching man. So in the last chapter, I know we talked a little bit about sonship and learning our identity. And I told you this: there is no son who wakes up in the morning trying very hard to maintain or earn a family name. Okay? He awakes already carrying that name. When I woke up in the morning, I did not struggle. Oh, I'm waking up, and I want to carry the Prem name. I don't struggle. I just carry that name. And we must go deeper into that revelation, because once you know whose you are, the next question becomes, on what basis do I stand boldly before Christ? On what basis do I stand boldly before Christ? I need to answer that question. Because if I can't answer that question, then Christianity becomes a joke, because Christianity is about legality. It's about our legal standing. It's about God, because God is a just God. And every standing that we have has to have its legal basis, okay? So on what basis do I stand boldly before God? And the answer is righteousness. Righteousness is what gives me the legality to stand boldly before God. Not self-righteousness, not moral effort, not religious discipline, but the righteousness that comes as a gift through Jesus Christ. Now, many believers spend years trying to become righteous. Okay? And this is what they are taught. They try to pray harder. I'm going to pray harder this year. They try to fast longer. Yeah, they serve more. They avoid mistakes. They give more. Yet the more they strive, the more they feel they have not arrived. Because the law will never make you feel you have arrived or you are there. Okay? Yet, that is a tragedy of religion. Okay? The more they strive, the more they feel they have not arrived. It turns righteousness into a destination. It turns righteousness into a destination instead of a gift to receive. Now I'll explain that. Now in Romans 5:17, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Okay? Paul destroys that whole philosophy of trying harder. And I want you to notice something very carefully. And I wish you had a pen you underline on your Bible. It says, look, notice the wordings there very carefully. Paul did not say those who achieve righteousness. He's not saying those who achieve righteousness. He's saying those who receive the gift of righteousness. That makes a world of a difference. Those who receive the gift of righteousness. So number one, righteousness is a gift, not a wage. Just in case you didn't know, righteousness is a gift, not a wage. A wage is earned. At the end of the day, you do something to receive something. A gift is received. When I come and give you a gift, have I given you a gift because you have done anything? Nah. If you have done anything to receive that gift, it is no longer a gift, but a wage. You have earned it. So if righteousness comes by obedience, then it would be a salary. If I have to do something to become righteous, then it is no longer a gift, but a salary. I'm paying for it. So God, I have done, I have fasted, I have prayed, I have given, so you owe me. You understand? But God owes nobody anything. Okay? But God calls it a gift, meaning you cannot work for it. Number one, you cannot deserve it. Number two, you cannot improve it. And you cannot add to it. What Christ has done for you, nothing, nobody, no one can add to to what has already done, been done. Jesus became what we were so we can become what he is. He took our sin and we received his righteousness. That's last week's sermon. This is a divine exchange on the cross. This is what happened on the cross. Remember, at some point on the cross, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, if you have studied or looked at the life of Christ carefully, I've looked at it. I could be wrong, but I have done my homework and I've seen that throughout the scripture, Jesus always called God Father, 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 Father. But at this one point on the cross, he called him my God. So what made him change from calling him Father to calling him my God? My God. Because when sin was placed on him, when he was taking our sin on the cross, he was no longer God. He was no longer pure and holy. He no longer had a connection with God because he had taken, the Bible says, he made him who knew no sin to become sin. Jesus became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So when he was on the cross taking our sin, he had become a sinner, and a sinner needs God. A sinner cannot call God Father, because Father comes by the spirit of adoption. But now we who have become sons of God can call him Abba Father. Why? Because of the adoption. We have been adopted into the family of God. So you need to understand those things. I know some of them may sound complicated, but with time you will understand it. Okay? So this is a divine exchange that took place on the cross, and it is built on Christ's finished work forever. If you don't understand the forever finished work of Christ, you will keep thinking that the Christian walk is about improving yourself daily. It's not about that. And that will get also clear. So what you need to understand is God does not reward you with righteousness after obedience. He gives you righteousness first, and then obedience flows out of righteousness. I want you to correct your mindset so that we move from Old Testament mindset into New Testament mindset. Old Testament was do and receive. The New Testament is receive, then do. Are you understanding? So we do from receiving, not the other way around. Okay? Number two, righteousness is a position before it becomes a practice. Righteousness is a position before it becomes a practice. This is where many Christians miss the revelation. God always changes position before he changes your behavior. Okay? God changes your... Have you ever noticed that you could be saved, but you could still have some loose wire somewhere in your head, yeah? And that does not mean that you're not a Christian. It just means that God has first changed your position before he changes your behavior. So before your action changes, he changes your identity. Okay? That is why he changed Jacob's name from Jacob to Israel, even if he was still a con man. Because God always first changes your name, and then now when your name changes, the character follows. Are you understanding? It's not the other way around. In religion, it's first improve yourself, make yourself stop smoking, stop drinking, stop lying. Then now you come close to God. Then now God accepts you because you have really worked hard. Now, if we could achieve righteousness like that, then Christ died for nothing. He has just come and added on our works, and he has perfected what we started. But he will not share that glory with anyone. Okay, so you do not live right to become righteous. Please understand that. Because that will put you on a treadmill of works for the rest of your life. You do not live right to become righteous. You live right because you already are righteous in Christ. That's why we do right. Because we are already righteous in Christ. A mango tree does not struggle to produce mangoes. We have a mango tree, you guys. At least you have seen that. I've never gone there in the morning and found that mango tree shaking in the spirit, saying, God, I'm trusting you. I'm going to produce mangoes. That mango tree produces mangoes because of the life that is in it, the life of mango producing. Now, even if we go and pray over that tree and we shake that tree and we prophesy to that tree, we will not find pineapples on that tree tomorrow morning, will we? We will not find jackfruit. We will not find star fruits. We will not find breadfruit. We will not find dragon fruits on that tree. Why? because it is a mango. It's a mango tree. It produces according to its nature. Very important for you to understand. Likeness, holiness is the fruit of righteousness. Holiness is a fruit of righteousness, not the root. It's not the root of righteousness. So a key truth here, and so that you don't get confused, conduct follows identity. It is first who I am in Christ. Then from who I am in Christ, my conduct follows. It's not before, not the other way around. Okay, that means purity is a fruit. Okay? Love is a fruit. We had that thing there, the fruits of the spirit, the fruit of the spirit. Okay? Because it is a result of something. Obedience is fruit and victory is fruit. But what is the root? Righteousness. Righteousness is the root. Number three, faith receives what effort can never produce. Faith receives what effort can never produce. The kingdom works by receiving. Faith is the hand that receives what grace provides. Okay, Romans 5:17 teaches that reigning in life begins when you receive. Notice what he says. Reigning in life begins when you receive the what? The gift of righteousness. Not you achieving righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. Is a gift. So for you to reign in life, you need to receive. Number one, you need to receive the abundance of grace. Number two, you need the gift of righteousness. This means victory over sin is not produced by self-effort. We have spoken about this 100 times. Have you woken up in the morning and said, today I'm going to be holy. I'm not going to talk anything wrong. I'm not going to have any negative thought. And the truth is, that doesn't take you 5 seconds before your brain goes south and your mouth starts running in the wrong direction. You understand? Because that is self-effort. It comes by believing what Christ has already made true about you. And what is this? You know, the enemy wants you to focus on weakness. But the Spirit wants you to focus on your righteousness in Christ. What you behold determines what you become. What you keep looking at determines what you become. And that is why the more you watch negative news on the news, which is most of the time what is news, what happens? You develop fear. You become fearful. You begin to develop in the wrong kind of thing. But if you're always listening to voices of faith, you're listening to the goodness of God, the righteousness of God, the right things that need to be done about God, what do you begin to have? You begin to get faith and you begin to believe that things are going to work out. But if you keep listening to the news and negative after negative and you keep beholding the wrong thing, you keep becoming it until you become paralyzed by nothing. Okay? So number four, righteousness removes the slave mentality. Righteousness removes the slave mentality. Now, when you think righteousness is a goal, you will live like servants trying to impress God or the pastor. If you don't understand what I'm talking about right now, you will live as a slave trying to impress God or the servants of God. But when they know righteousness is a gift, they live like sons. When you understand that righteousness is a gift, you will live like a son. Sons do not beg for acceptance. There is no time my sons have ever come to me and begged me, oh, father, can we be part of this family? They know. They don't care. They don't pray. They don't pray to me. They don't beg me. Of course, they are not rude. And when they are rude, definitely, you know, the rod lands. But they never beg. Father, 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 are you going to feed us today? They don't have to. For most of the time, I'm hungry. Where is the food? And you're thinking, yeah, you know, because that is, it is sonship. They don't have to beg. They live from acceptance. And this revelation destroys condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, that walk not after the flesh, but after the law of the Spirit. And what is the law of the Spirit? The law of the Spirit is what I'm I'm teaching you right now. It breaks shame. Bible says, for your shame, I will give you double honor. Because when you can't meet the requirements of the law, it brings you before God with in shame. And that is how we were taught to preach. Oh God, look at me. I'm just a lizard. I'm not worthy even to be the dust under my feet. That was a prodigal son. Father, I am not worthy to be called your son. Allow me to live. But have you ever noticed this, that the Bible, when the prodigal father saw his son coming, what did he say? My son was lost, and now he's. What does that mean? Even when he was lost, he never stopped being a son. He didn't say this vagabond, this crooked boy ran away, now he has come. He was not even made into a son. You know, I like that story because they didn't even shower him. The Bible says he came from the pig pen. Definitely had not taken a shower for quite some days. And the father saw him. They didn't say, take this pig and go wash it and then bring it. He clothed him. The Bible says he kissed his neck. What is that? My son was lost and now he's found. My son was dead, even when you are still dead, and now he's alive. Are you understanding sonship? Okay. So it destroys shame. It also destroys spiritual insecurity. Am I sure I'm really going to make it to heaven? You know, those were the sermons. And that's why some of these things, even some of these movies, don't do justice. They make you fear the rapture. They you know, the rapture is supposed to be feared by those who are outside Christ. For us who are in Christ, it is a joy. It is a joy because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we are not afraid of rapture. We are not afraid of the end of the world. It's a joy to us because we know something that the rest of the people don't know. And then I have spiritual security. I can come boldly before God because of righteousness. It also destroys fear-based Christianity. Fear-based Christianity is what has destroyed the church world, because this is where people are sold fear so that they can pay for their entrance into heaven. Somebody will come and sell to you curses. Somebody will come and sell to you something is going to happen in your lineage. You dishonored the man of God. So God is going to powerfully punish you and destroy you. You have not been given enough. You have not been doing the right thing. So something is going to happen that destroys your life. Are you understanding? So fear-based Christianity, and that has destroyed so much of what has really been happening in people's lives. But when you understand, fear-based Christianity is over. And then performance-driven prayer. Okay? What is performance-driven prayer? It is you thinking that your hard prayers and your performance in prayer is what is going to make you accepted before God. So you are not praying. You are not praying from a position of acceptance. You are praying to be accepted. It's totally different. So when I stand before God, I'm not praying, oh God, now accept me. Here I am. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. I'm not praying to be accepted. I am praying from a position of acceptance. Because now you stand before God boldly, not because you were perfect today, but because Christ is your perfection. So the righteous are not those who never fail. They are those who trust completely in the success of Jesus Christ. Are you understanding? The righteous are not those who never fail. They are those who trust completely in the success of Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you this, because if you don't understand this, your prayer life can become a performance. There was a time, before I understood what I'm teaching you now, I used to start most of my prayer with confession. Big mistake. Oh God, you know, I said this, I did this, I ate, I was supposed to be fasting. Now, when you start your prayer with confession, you will pray and pray and pray and even find that you have not ended. And then in the middle of your prayer, you'll realize God is not giving me anything. With all these problems of mine, God is going to be far away from me. And then one day, just God, in seeing my foolishness, he just inspired my heart. He spoke to me, not like, oh, Moses, Moses, Moses. I was just reading the scriptures. And then I came to the Lord's Prayer. And I saw something in that Lord's Prayer I had never seen. And that's how I'm saying he spoke to me, because it just jumped out. That scripture just jumped out. And I read the Lord's Prayer, and it says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. I stopped at that point and I realized God is telling me to ask for my daily need before I confess my sin. And I realized I'd been doing it wrong. Most of us start with confession because somebody told us you must come before God pure and holy so that he can accept me. Then I looked at the Lord's Prayer. I'm saying, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us. And I realized God does not want us to become sin conscious. God wants us to be righteousness conscious, because whatever is being done for you is not being done because you are right. It is being done because Christ is right. Are you understanding the difference? And from that point on, my prayer life changed. Now I don't come before God trying to get into the beloved. I know I am already. And there's a difference. So I'm not trying to bring God down. Oh, let us bring God down. Let us sing three songs. Let us do this to bring him down. We don't bring him down. He's already in us. And when we pray, we are praying from a position of sonship, not slaves trying to get accepted. Are you understanding? And number five, you reign in life from righteousness. You reign in life from righteousness. Romans 5:17 connects righteousness with dominion. Shall reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. You shall reign in life through the gift of righteousness. Through who? Jesus Christ. So righteousness is what gives the believer confidence to reign over life. And which righteousness is this? Okay? To reign over life, to reign over sin, to reign over fear, to reign over accusation, to reign over delay, to reign over spiritual oppression. The reason many believers are defeated is because they are fighting from a place of uncertainty. They are not sure, is God with me? Remember in the Old Testament, they used to go and inquire from the prophet whether God is with me. Remember David when he wanted to pursue after Ziklag, when their stuff was stolen in Ziklag, and he went and he said, inquire of the Lord if he is with us to go. And the prophet says, go, the Lord is with you. You will pursue your enemies and overtake them. That is certainty. But many times the kings could not go into battle because they were not sure whether God is with them. Now in the New Testament, we are sure God is with us because it is not about us. It is on the account of who? Christ. It is on the account of Christ. And you need to get that into your mindset so that now you start becoming righteousness conscious. Not sin, righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am a righteous person. But when you know you are righteous in Christ, you fight from victory. You do not battle for acceptance. You battle from acceptance. I am already accepted. So my warfare, I'm not trying to get in. I am already in. And so our practical application as we wound up is this. We need to teach people to stop saying, I am trying to be worthy. Okay? I hope God accepts me. I hope God you receive this prayer. I hope you receive my sacrifice. You have no sacrifice. God is pleased by one sacrifice. And what sacrifice is that? The sacrifice of Christ. Maybe one day I'll be righteous enough. I will work hard and try hard. Okay? So Jeremiah, this is what we are going to replace it with. We are going to replace such words with kingdom language. Okay? And what is kingdom language? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I stand accepted in the beloved. Christ is my righteousness. I reign in life by grace. And so as a church, we must move from sin consciousness to righteousness consciousness. That is how mature sons walk in authority. Authority. Okay? As we wind up, I want you to put it in your mind and have this thought. Righteousness, it is the robe the Father puts on you. It is a gift of righteousness, not the achievement of righteousness. Okay? It is not a reward for your discipline. Should we be disciplined? Yes. But not disciplined to become. It is disciplined because we are. Are you getting the difference? Yes. So that you move from works based. It is the result of Christ's sacrifice. So my advice to you is this. Stop chasing what Jesus has already given you. Stop chasing it. Receive it. Believe it. Walk in it. And reign from it. Okay? And if you notice this, and here is where we end this message. If you notice this, in the New Testament, one of the questions that Paul kept asking the believers was, have you not yet received the gift? Have you not received this? Why? Because in the New Testament, it is about receiving. In the Old Testament, it was doing to become. Okay? In the New Testament is receive the gift of righteousness. Receive the life of Christ in you. And then from there, now you walk as a son. Are you understanding? And it is so paramount, you must understand that righteousness is the root of the tree. Everything else is a fruit. Even holiness comes from righteousness. So once you understand your root of righteousness, it becomes easy to live holy. So I am not becoming righteous. You understand, Cherry? I'm not becoming righteous. I have received righteousness as a gift through Jesus Christ. Therefore, I reign in life by grace. So I am not trying. I'm not trying. I have already. Does it always mean my behavior will look like? No, because there's a difference between justification and transformation. The moment you became a son, you became a son overnight. It happened instantly. When you allowed to receive the life of Christ, he made you into a son and you are justified on that very second. But there's something we call transformation, and transformation takes time. That is why the Bible says we become more like his. As we behold him, we become more like him. Behold him what? The understanding of righteousness, the understanding of Christ, the understanding of what Christ has done. If you behold the devil, and you're always thinking of curses, and you're always thinking of demons, and you're always thinking of negative things, as you behold the devil, you shall become more like the devil. And speak of the devil, there's a small devil. But just ignore it. It's not really a devil, it's a lizard or something. Or a baby snake. Don't get distracted. As you behold the devil, you become more like the. Okay, I want us to finish together. As you behold the devil, you become more like the devil. As you behold Christ, you become more like Christ. That is why Christ is our message, because the more we talk about Christ, the more we hear about Christ, the more we look like Christ. That's why you don't find me. I don't tell you about curses. I don't tell you about ancestral spirits. The more you look for curses, curses only exist outside. They do not exist outside your mind. They're in your mind. And especially in Africa. But in the Bible, cursed people did wonders. Yeah, and that's not a lesson for today. But why? The difference is this. If, as you behold Shaitani, you begin to look more like Shaitan. But I want to encourage you, behold Christ. Behold the finished work of Christ. That is why the Bible says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins. Don't behold other things. Don't behold the devil. Behold the Lamb of God. Why? As you behold the Lamb of God, you begin to be transformed more and more like him. And then a day will arrive and you will realize that, wow, all this time, I was a son and I behaved like a slave. Do you know what is the most pathetic part about the story of the prodigal son? And I'm just winding up. It's not even the son who left. Because the son who left had the guts enough to ask for his inheritance. And he went and chopped life. Money. Dishing out money. Money in the bank. No. The guy was chopping life. The other guy at home was a religious guy. Yeah. And when this other son finished all his money and he comes back. And his father accepts him. Have you ever heard what he said? Father, all this time, I have been here. I have been praying hard. I have been serving hard. I have never left you. I'm there for Kesha. I come for praying for 10 hours. I serve. I have given my salary. I've never missed a tithe. I have done everything. And you have never given me anything. Not even a little lamb. Can you look at that mindset? Everything was his. And the father looked at him and said, dude, everything I own is yours. Your problem is your head is full of religion. You think you have to do to get. So he was there in the house, religious, praying from morning to evening. And I'm not saying don't pray. You know, sometimes when I talk like that, you might think I'm saying don't pray. Or he was trying everything and fasting every day and doing everything right, but he got nothing. But here is the other guy who knows how to chop life and he comes back and then he's getting a party. Why? Because his mindset was not on his sin. You know, the Bible says he came to his senses and said in his mind or in his heart, I will go back to my father's house because I am a son. I'm a son. And I'm speaking to also the lost sons out there. And I said, when I say son, it is everyone. It's not gender. That probably it's time for you to go back to your father's house. And father's house is not church. Father's house is for you to accept that you are the righteousness of Christ. No matter how deep and how far you have gone, the prodigal son went into the ditch and he began not just living with pigs and serving pigs. And anybody knows this as a Jewish boy that he would never have done that in his hometown because it was against the law and it was a desecration for him to take care of pigs. Now, leave alone taking care of pigs. The guy was with the pigs and eating the pig food, which means that it doesn't matter how far you have drifted away from God, God is calling you back to his house. And remember this, you are a son. And you're not going there back to beg because the father has been waiting for you to come back. And it is important for you to understand that the gift of righteousness is what will make that difference for you. And when you come back to the father and he places that robe of righteousness on you, fruit begins to flow naturally. So thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this. I want us to end there because if I go beyond there, we will complicate so many things. But I want us to pray for each one of us before we give. Father, I pray for those who are lost. I pray, Father, for anyone who is out there and they would like to receive Christ as Lord and Savior. If you're out there and you've had this message and you've been lost and you don't know that it was not so complicated to come back, I just want you to pray after me. Father, I put down my pride and I come to you and I receive the gift of your life in my life. I receive the gift of Christ in my life. I receive the forgiveness of sin and I accept the reality of what Christ has done for me. I receive that gift of righteousness and from today I am set apart to walk in the newness of life. Not because of what I do, not because of what I've done, not because of what I'm going to do, but because of what Christ has already done for me. Thank you for accepting me as a son, and I am happy and content to be a new believer from today on for the rest of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. If you made that prayer, you don't need to go through another process. You are a child of God. And by helping us and sowing seed, you help us achieve and to do the work of the ministry. And God bless you for that, because I know you do it out of a joyful and a willing heart. Father, thank you for every seed. Thank you for every offering. Thank you for every gift. Father, we do not take it for granted that people work, that people do the things that they do, and still spare some money to put into your work so that the gospel can be preached. We receive all those gifts with thanksgiving, and we are grateful for every giver. May you bless those seeds, may you bless those givings, and may you bless each giver. Thank you, Father, for hearing us, for we pray this believing and trusting in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week ahead, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Honey from the Rock Ministry. We are a Christ centered church, serving Jesus our Lord.